Welcome to Bigger Than Business, where you'll discover real-world stories of business owners living their purpose. This is the podcast for anyone who wants their success to be about more than just money. In these interviews, you'll encounter men and women all over the world who draw strength and resilience from understanding why they do what they do and how they remain true to that purpose through the ups and downs that every business owner will eventually face. In each episode, you'll see your convictions can propel your actions in the marketplace. We'll explore why success is grander, broader, and far more fulfilling when it is driven by a vision beyond oneself. Get ready to explore how your life can be bigger than business.
How do you not only maintain a business in the face of tragedy, but expand it while raising a family as a single mother? Hello, I'm your host, Jeff Holler, founder and CEO of the Capital Chart Room. Dr. Mary Huddleston is a partner in a thriving medical practice, as well as a commercial real estate owner and landlord. When her husband Scott passed away unexpectedly, Mary was thrust into taking over their combined businesses, all while balancing them with single motherhood. Listen in as Mary shares what helped change the trajectory of her grief and allowed her to focus on her mission, maintain her desired business culture, and perpetuate loving family relationships. I am here today with Dr. Mary Huddleston. Mary is an incredible single mother to three children and an innovative and successful business owner on several fronts. Mary is the majority partner in a thriving medical practice, the Family Allergy and Asthma Clinic in Flower Mound, Texas, and also an acclaimed food allergy clinic. Mary is also a successful commercial real estate owner and landlord. On top of everything else, Mary is very active in her church and community and a number of other charities, often assuming leadership positions. Mary, thanks for being with us today. It's great to have you.
Good to be here.
Well, Mary, you wear a lot of hats. I mentioned a few of them: mom, medical business partner, commercial real estate business owner, church, community. How do you manage it all?
One day at a time. Some days are definitely better than others. But I try to approach every day with a spirit of enthusiasm and wonder and find ways that I can be helpful.
That's great.
Try to keep my self-talk sort of running in the background in a positive way. But most importantly, Jeff, I surround myself with a ton of really exceptional people that help me.
Yeah, I've got a chance to meet a lot of those, and you are exceptional at that. You're a great team builder.
Well, I have lots of great supporters and friends and trusted advisors.
Yeah, well, that makes a big difference, and you've done that well, and that's a real strength. I mean, that's a commonality among a lot of our clients and successful business people. They surround themselves with really good people, and you have done a great job of that. You and I met originally through your attorney, Bill Dismuke, who is also our firm's attorney, shortly after your husband, Scott, passed away in a tragic airplane accident. That was in 2004, I believe. And Scott and you had planned well, and you had a great estate plan in place. But looking in from the outside, it was clear that in addition to all the unexpected personal and family situation and the grief you had to deal with, you also had complex businesses with which you had to deal immediately. Do you mind sharing with our listeners what that time was like for you?
Jeff, my children were young when Scott died. Our youngest had just turned 3. My daughter was 7 and her older brother was 10. I was the chief of staff at the hospital at that time. I was on the volunteer faculty of the medical school. And it felt like there was so much information coming at me. I had too many decisions to make. And the truth is, as I pondered this question, I don't think I remember a whole lot about what happened. A lot of it's a blur. But I got myself a 3-ring binder and I made folders. I made a section for the dental practice and the medical practice and all the estate stuff. And I just carried that with me everywhere. And then I just walked a lot and I prayed a lot. I journaled a lot, kind of circled up, took care of my kids, went to work every day, trusted God was going to see us through the other side of whatever it was. And there were, at one point, at the end of the first year, a big, huge eureka moment happened for me. That sort of changed the trajectory anyway of my grief. And that was, so I'm always a forward thinker. I tend to live in the future. Don't tend to look back much. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you're dealing with all of that, it's pretty important to be in the present. So I was always struggling. How do I get to be in the present? And through a series of serendipitous events, I picked up this book. And so basically I learned, and it's such a simple thing, but if you can always be in the present moment if you can be thankful for the present moment. So it'll, no matter where you are, you can say, oh, I'm so thankful I'm here on this podcast today talking to Jeff. Oh, I'm so thankful the sun is shining. It doesn't matter what it is, if you, and that brings you right to the moment, and it gets you out of whatever it is. And it was life-changing for me. I mean, it just made a huge shift anyway, because you could always be present then, you know.
Wow, that is a fantastic insight. Always be thankful for where you are in the present. And that's that doesn't surprise me that that's the way you look at things. But that's a great insight. Thank you for sharing that. As I mentioned earlier, in addition to your priority for your family, which is really obvious, you very capably and successfully run several businesses. How do you balance being such a great mom with all the other rapidly moving parts of your life?
Well, you have to hire a great nanny.
That's easier said than done, from what I understand.
I think one of the things I think it's important to eat breakfast or dinner together as a family, at least every day. I mean, at least one meal a day together, no matter what, and read and pray together every day, and just try to look for ways to create family memories, because you're busy, but you need to be creating those maybe short trips, even on weekends. And then also make sure you maintain a good family calendar that everybody gets access to. And then also, I guess for me too, I struggle with this sometimes, but I still do now. Just remember to take time just to think, just it's kind of a way, just to meditation was really helpful, prayer, stuff like that.
I know that you're very thoughtful about weighing experiences your kids are having, things they've said, and taking that in and thinking about it, and then thinking how you might respond or what you can do with it. And I really admire you for that. You're really, really good at that. And the other thing I've noticed, Mary, that is that you talked about being present, and you're always future thinking, but you are very present with your kids. And that is such an empowering thing for your children, that you're not distracted. When you're with your kids, you're there with them. And you're not juggling with your phone and running your medical practice and doing other things. You're there for them. And I think that has made a big difference too. I know they sure look to you for guidance in their life and appreciate everything you've done for them. So you know, you... medical practice on the left, commercial real estate business on the right, a lot of stuff in between. You know, what life experiences and work or prepared you to do all this and do these multifaceted things you're involved in?
That is such a good question. And I don't know the answer to that. You know, growing up, I never imagined what a wonderful, fulfilling life that I would have. I didn't even consider owning businesses. I got a marketing minor in college along with my biology major, because I was going to medical school. But most of the business I learned from my late husband, Scott. He was sort of the born entrepreneur. And he really imparted a tremendous amount of knowledge to me regarding running the financial side of a business. He was a great steward of money. Some of the things I remember he would always say that I live my life by, and that is always pay the IRS, but never pay them not even one penny more than you owe.
I love that advice.
try to own your business if possible. Always try to pay rent yourself. And together we learned about commercial real estate, because early in our marriage, we purchased a very large, almost vacant, two-story shopping center that had been the RTC foreclosure. The reason we bought it was so that I could have a place to put my medical practice, as I was just coming out of school. And then he was a dentist and he was going to have his dental practice there. So we would be paying ourselves rent. But like I said, it was almost empty. It was kind of a unique opportunity because it was owner finance. We really had no money. We even sold my car to get some cash during that early first year. And then we basically, we had that big old empty mall. Our kids would come and play and run around, and they would come to visit. But we were paying ourselves rent, and we just went to work learning how to lease and leasing the space and learning how to do finish outs, and became a big part of the community because it was a nice space to do community events. And so ultimately, I don't know that I would do anything different other than, you know, just try to always be in the present. I think it's just blessings. I mean, it's a good life.
Yeah, I think you clearly have some of that entrepreneurial fabric as well. Because if you wouldn't have, you wouldn't have been willing to sell your car and put everything on the line. And that's what entrepreneurs do. They have the confidence in their idea and where they're going. And that's a commonality, putting things on the line like that. So you're selling that car was a great decision.
Great moment.
How'd you get around? What'd you do? Ride a bike?
We shared a car. We had two cars. So we just had one car.
Well, I guess that's when you're in the same shopping center together, your offices, you can do that. That worked out well. How do you handle all the uncertainty while continuing to deliver outstanding patient care? And by the way, I know it's outstanding because I'm also a patient of your Family Allergy and Asthma Clinic. How do you do that? How do you move forward with what could seem to be paralyzing uncertainty in the industry?
In our practice, we really try to do what we're good at and do it well and always focus on the people. Focusing on the people is what makes all the difference, I think. We're a service-oriented business, and our new marketing slogan is we provide peace of mind. You know, as allergists, we provide peace of mind, which is exactly our goal with people that have allergies and food allergies and asthma and that they know what to do and how to take care of themselves if they have a problem. So, I think you have to remember that your reputation is really all you have. It is the most important asset you have, though, and so you have to make sure that you take care of it. Yeah.
Well, I find it interesting that you are somebody that looks to the future all the time, and when the future is so murky in your industry, yet you're able to be present and say, okay, what can we do today? And that's hard for somebody that's continually looking at the future when you can't see when it's foggy outside, right?
Right. Yep.
So many businesses are owned by individual families, not in partnership like your medical practices. What are some of the unique challenges and opportunities that you encounter working with business partners?
You know, for me, having a partner is a big important ingredient for my succession plan, more so than a financial benefit. But it also provides a significant amount of stability to know that we're all on the same team, we're all working for the same goals when it's all is said and done. But as you know, having a business partner is truly like being married. And so I guess any advice I would have would be, just make sure you have a great buy-sell agreement that's prepared by somebody experienced, and always be a good communicator, do it frequently, be honest, be transparent, and set up your opportunities to talk so that things don't build up. Yeah, I like having a partner.
Yeah, that's great advice. And one thing that we advise people who are considering moving into partnership is when they're making that decision, things are at their best, right? They see a fantastic future. So we always advise them to think through, okay, if this doesn't work, how are we going to separate it? And to document that, as you said, to have a great buy-sell agreement and have by somebody that's really skilled in that area so that if things don't go right, you don't have to be emotional about it. It's all cut and dried and lined out. So that's great advice, Mary. And then, you mentioned carving the time for communication. It is kind of like marriage and any other really important relationship, even with kids, right? In that same regard. And so sometimes our partners are like kids. you have to make that time. Right. And to deal with things before they become problematic. So thank you for sharing. That's really good advice. I've noticed that you have a consistently caring and service-oriented culture in your medical practice. How do you develop that? And how do you maintain it? Because you've grown quite a bit, and you're in multiple locations now. So that's got to be even harder to maintain that culture.
So I guess you start first by saying you're going to maintain the culture, and then you cultivate it every single day. So because we have two locations, one of the everybody rotates because otherwise you don't understand the culture. So everybody goes to both offices. We really try to live our culture. We speak it every day. We teach it every day. We're always looking to improve it on some levels. In 2019, in January this year, we started using the Google OKRs, to have people sort of more engaged in the process, which has been really, it's so fun to see employees, you know, our big goal this month is just to enhance each, you know, how can we enhance our productivity, you know, so how can we drive that forward? And so everybody's putting their input in and having meetings and creating their goals, and it's pretty exciting. Yeah.
So explain that tool for the listeners that haven't used it or aren't familiar with it, please. The Google.
You're going to laugh at me because it is something in key results. I can't remember what the O stands for. You know.
Sorry. What are the initials?
OKRs in key results. It is.
That's all right. Don't worry.
Yeah,
about it.
Sorry. Yeah.
But it's a tool online, digital.
That you measure it. It is Google. So every quarter, everybody has their own OKR. It's sort of their goal, and it has to be measurable. It has to be, and at the end of the quarter, they say yes or no. Did you meet it? It's not, you know. So like we are trying to decrease our patient length of time in the waiting room by 20%. And so how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to get our patients back quicker. And so at the end of the quarter, this is our first end of the quarter. And so we're going to go back to the front office and say, were we successful? Yes or no. And then next quarter, we'll have something else that we focus on. But
well, that's great.
It's pretty fun. Yeah,
so
yeah.
People have their individual, and then everybody has the company goals,
right,
that they're focused on. That's cool. So do you have documented values, service delivery, goals, things like that, that would be part of your culture?
Yep, we sure do.
And
every year, you know, we have a big old meeting every year. We're in the process right now of like sort of switching a little bit of our, like I said, we're switching from this. We used to help you breathe in a brand new way of life. Now we're providing peace of mind. So we're making a few little changes just for the whole marketing perspective of it. Because our practice has changed as far as that goes, because we do a lot more food allergy and stuff than we didn't do before. So
So how did you establish those in the beginning to get to the point of even documenting them? Are these, did the partners get together? Did the team get together? Do you remember how you did that?
So I started solo by myself, and I had a mission statement. I mean, just to begin with, it was to provide state-of-the-art allergy and asthma care north of, you know, the Grapevine Lake in my part of the world. That was my goal, and be the go-to person. And so I did write it down. I probably didn't create the values for another couple of years, and at that point I probably did engage the team and all that, but you can't make anything unless you know what you're trying to make. So from the beginning, you know, I was going to be, I'm going to stamp out all the allergies in my little, I just want to supply my nature, my part of the world. I'm not trying it really served me well. Yeah.
That's cool. And that's also neat. You engage the team then ultimately in saying, here's what our values are. And as you shared, you go back and visit those regularly and focus on them. And if you hire somebody that doesn't fit the culture, how do you handle that?
So you know, we give everybody a Colby and sort of a color code test, and we really try to find their right fit so that they're utilizing their unique ability. And if that doesn't work, then they're going to be happier somewhere else, and we're going to be happier too.
So you help them. You help them find a better place.
Right. I mean, we are very, we're very patient, because it takes some people, like sometimes we hire medical assistants. It might take somebody, you know, 4 weeks to learn stuff. It might take somebody 3 months, kind of depending on the age and the level of the computer. So we really do allow people whatever it is, time that they need and to get to know them and find out, you know, where their unique ability is. But we are a business, and so we want people that fit the culture, because otherwise they're not happy and we're not. So yeah.
That's great. So you use the term unique ability, and I kind of define that as things that people excel at and also that give them energy, that just, you know, if they're passionate about it, and if they could do that every day, they would just be jazzed if that's all the things that are their unique abilities. And I've observed that most successful businesses are built around the owner's unique abilities. What are some of your unique abilities around which you've built your businesses?
I've pondered this question a lot. So I mean, the biggest thing that drives me, I really like to be helpful in my neck. I mean, being helpful is sounds I like to be helpful, but I'm also very intuitive and empathetic. And I always trust myself to know the right answer when I hear it. I think you know that about me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It takes me a while. But once I decided, I decided. But I really trust myself 100% to know the right answer when I hear it. And so I think that is, I don't know why I can do that, but I can. So that's just unique, I think.
That is. It's unique. And it's also a great quality to have. And it also explains why you're so good at being the majority partner and being a partner and keeping your other partners really engaged and part of the process as well. With so many demands, Mary, how do you take care of Mary? You know, what's fun or rejuvenating for you?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, as my children get older, I do like to travel. I like to travel with them and to visit them. I like to walk. I like to hike. I belong to a great book club. I recently started doing some yoga. I have two Labrador retrievers, but this is news. You don't even know this yet. I have a new Tesla.
A new what? A Tesla.
Oh, God. That's pretty exciting.
I actually did know that. I'll tell you later how I knew it, but I did know it.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty excited about it. So yeah, I just got it today, actually.
That is fun. And you mentioned the trips with your kids, but yeah, over the years, you have been so good about doing trips with all your kids together and then individual trips with each of your kids at different points in time in their lives that seem to be really important junctions. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that and why that's been so meaningful to you?
Well, you were my inspiration for that, by the way.
Oh, I didn't set you up to
oh my
say
gosh, yes.
I'm sorry.
No, it's great. I think for the biggest inspiration is if you start your trips early, then when they become older and get married and stuff like that, they're still going to want to keep going with you. I think there's some value in that.
Yeah, there is. Definitely is.
You can't provide your kids. All my kids are different, and you can't provide your kids one-on-one time when you're three-on-one. And so spending time together, just one-on-one. I mean, my daughter's my adventuresome one. In fact, we're going to Antarctica in January, and she will have been on every continent. After we do that, I have not made that, but she will. So we're pretty excited about that. But
that is exciting.
We had some fun. But my boys and I, we like to hike, and we've been on some pretty good adventures as well. So Grand Canyon last year, they like to drive places. But yeah,
I have a feeling your kids are going to keep wanting to do these trips with you.
I'm afraid you're right.
So would you do me a favor when you're in Antarctica? So in the book I wrote, Bigger Than Business, there are 8 stories on 6 different continents. I found a business owner on every continent but Antarctica. Would you look while you're down there and see if you can find a business owner?
I
can go down and interview. Okay.
I'll give you advice on getting down there. You bet.
Okay. I'd appreciate that. That'd be great. Do you have any other just advice in general or insight for anybody listening that's building a business that's in the middle of all the stuff and all the hard work it takes to build a business?
I would say, above all, make sure you're having fun. Make sure that you're being honest with yourself and the people around you all the time. Be generous and then have a real clear mission and then go for it. One of the mantras I tell my kids, and I think I do it in my business as well. And that is, you know, it's, you get what you give, and in every moment you can choose. So there's that, my choice is to be thankful, you know, so you get to choose. And it's kind of, being an entrepreneur, that's what that's all about, you know, making those right choices and recognizing that you have them.
Yeah. That's, you know, you're very inspiring for those around you in that regard, in that how you look at life and how you make choices. You've been through a lot of difficult times. And yet you've found a way to not only survive, but thrive and be grateful, you know, for what you do have and what you have been able to accomplish and pass that on to your kids and your employees and those of us that get the opportunity to be around you. So, for that, I thank you. You are an inspiration.
Thank you.
So Mary, you know, finally, and most importantly, you know, what's motivated you all these years to achieve such outstanding success? I mean, what's bigger than business for Mary Huddleston?
So early, before I had family, you know, I think I truly love to be helpful and I like to work. I mean, I like to be productive. I'm motivated by having a positive impact on the people around me. But at this point in my life, I think the thing that's bigger than business for me is creating a meaningful family legacy of integrity, generosity, and loving God and neighbor.
That's
my goal. Yep. And it really motivates me.
That's a great, great goal. And it's one that you don't just say, you do actually live it every day, and you are doing that. And it's fun to see how your kids are carrying that on as well. And it will continue to be fun to see that. You've had a big impact on a lot of people. We've got Dr. Mary Huddleston here with us, who is a multi-talented entrepreneur with a number of medical practices, a commercial real estate business, a thriving family, and a lot of other things she's involved in. Mary, we really appreciate you sharing with us today. Great insight, and I think our listeners are going to really benefit from everything you had to share. Anything else to say at this point?
Thank you so much, Jeff. It was. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure having you on board, and I look forward to hearing your podcast.
Me too.
Okay, Mary. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Bigger Than Business. To hear our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or your favorite podcast provider. Do you know a successful business owner who you believe is achieving their purpose in life and want to recommend them for Jeff to interview? Please visit our website at thecapitalchartroom.com and let us know. And remember, in life, always create a vision for your success that is bigger than business.